Before we jump in, a warning that we are an explicit book podcast.
Yes, that means swearing, shitty jokes, and a whole lot of dark humour that some may take offence to.
Please check your trigger warnings on all of the books we cover.
You've been warned.
The episode starts in 3, 2, 1.
A book in a bed.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of A Book and a Bev. We are your hosts, Bryony, Georgia, and Ellie. And slap a paper crown on my head and call me Camilla, because this week we are diving into Red, White, and Royal Blue by Casey McQuiston, also known as Queef. Probably yeah. Not, but we're going with it.
McQuiston.
This is our MM read for Pride Month, and we thought it was a perfect choice given the upcoming TV show that we will be streaming together, because we must have a viewing party. There are no alternatives.
I would die.
Let's just jump in. We've got a lot to cover. What are we drinking?
I'm on theme by having no theme, and I'm just drinking Jack and Coke.
Yeah, look, that's you in a nutshell.
I am drinking Red Bull tonight because it gives you wings, and for some reason, wings remind me of royalty, and also because I'm really tired and I need some more energy. So I don't know. I was trying to think of a way, and I was like, wings, yeah, I guess royalty. Yeah, I don't know why, but it does. So...
Fair enough.
Because sure. I am a queen. I am the queen.
Yes, you are. We agree sure. with that. All right, so let's discuss our general vibes, shall we not? I will go first for no other reason than I will. This book might just be one of my new favorites. It had all of my favorite things. Royalty, politics, and angsty romance with elite banter. It was chef's kiss. Amazing. The whole thing was just brilliant. And I usually don't go for the rom-com type book. Like, I
really don't.
No, I didn't like Love Hypothesis. I didn't like The Hating Game. But this just felt different. The characters felt like they had so much dimension. But usually I hate people like Alex. They come off a little bit obnoxious and cocky, but I just loved his humor and his inner dialogue. I did read some of the more negative reviews on the book, which were mainly about the very leftist idealistic political story. And I'm kind of like, it's a fiction book. Get the fuck over it. Like,
seriously.
There would never be a white Democratic female running for president from Texas. I'm like,
I'm sorry. Like, you're reading an MM romance and you're like, it shouldn't be left aligning. They should be Republicans.
But then they were also shitty as well because it was a woman writing an MM book.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
But she's a part of the queer community. So I'm kind of like, well, what the fuck do you want? I'm just kind of like, you can never please anyone. But still, McQuiston literally said that this was meant to be a parallel universe to the trauma of 2016 in that election. Because you know what happened in the 2016 American election, right? Yeah. So she was like, I need to write out my thoughts and create an alternate dimension where the world's a little bit better. And that's what she
did. Oh my God, it's Prince Harry.
It's Prince Harry.
It's gay Prince Harry.
It's gay Prince Harry and
Henry.
Yeah, are you only getting this for the first fucking time?
Real life Prince Harry is so outrageously heterosexual that I couldn't associate it.
Yeah, well, just true. And the whole emails as well with the server and the leak. Yeah, anyway, look, there's a lot of parallels and I just fucking adored it. So some people just took issue with it because it wasn't realistic. And if you're going to write a book about politics, you have to write it with complexity and nuance and whatever else. And the world's actually a lot more fucked up. And it's like, this is a fucking romance book. Get the fuck over it and go read some, I don't know what a politics book is, but go read that instead. Go read a dictionary. Okay. Go touch some grass. Calm down. This was a good book. Get a grip. Get a grip.
If you did.
Suck my asshole. Don't like it. Silently, you fuck.
Give it a be like, this book wasn't for me. Peace out. You know?
I like how I am vehemently defending this book because I loved it so much. And yet previous episodes, I've been the one to be like, well, no, this was fucked.
In theme with us previously, we take no responsibility and this is our podcast. We will say what we want.
Exactly. Yeah. Can we not evolve?
Okay. So I am here for everyone who's contemplating reading this book, but has never actually given it a chance and it's sat on your bookshelf for months and months waiting to be read. Read this fucking book. Not only is it enemies or like kind of frenemies, but enemies to lovers. It's MM, forced proximity. He fools first. Duh, because they're both boys, but that's fine. He fools first. And the banter is literally un. unbeatable. Like, mm-hmm. it is some of the best fucking banter I've ever seen. And honest to God, Ellie, Alex, sometimes when he said things, I was like, this is Ellie. Because you would just blatantly hate someone just because. You would just be like, fuck you, I hate you, whatever.
Yeah. I just don't like who you are as a person, so I wish death upon yourself.
But Alex and Henry's relationship was literally everything to me. Like, they meshed so perfectly together and it made my heart melt. Along with being like a solid MA 15 plus rating, like it was a step up from Delilah Green for me in terms of spice. And that was unexpected with the pink cover. I don't know. It was like pink and like fluffy. It gave me like tee-hee-ha-ha, you know, not like, mm-hmm. oh shit, fucking let me suck your dick when you have that polo gear on. Fuck me. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah. Giving me that. Yeah. You're going to need those knee pads.
Yeah. yeah. Those horse riding thighs.
I loved this book in so many ways. It's such like an easy book to read and it is hilariously funny and it's just perfection for me. It was such like a giant 5-star read and it made the start of my Pride Month so happy because like this was yeah. the first book that I read at the beginning of June and it was just like, why did I wait so long? Mm. Why?
I literally finished May with this book and I was rereading it for the podcast. I've read it before and I forgot how good it is. Like you guys have said, it is the sensational banter that has you in hysterics. And yet there's also some of the most poetically beautiful writing I've ever read in some bits. I was like, what the fuck, Casey? Like, what are you doing? It made my heart so happy. And literally, it's been weeks now since I've read it again. And I still am thinking about how hot this book is and the tension and the leather polo glove haunts me. So hot and it's so good. And it's just, yes. I fucking love this book.
Let's just get right the fuck into it.
Usually we give you a little tidbit on who is who and what is what, but we're not doing that tonight. We're just balls deep. So we start off the book, we meet Alex. He is the son of the president and he's in the White House and he's basically found like a secret note written on one of the walls in the White House, which says rule number one, don't get caught. We just push that aside and we just trod on. We meet his sister June and we hear about their best friend Nora, who is the vice president's daughter. Her and Alex pretend to like wink wink nudge nudge for the tabloids. And we also learn about Prince Henry from England and how he is Alex's arch nemesis. I love it already. Alex, June and Nora are going to Prince Henry's brother's wedding. And it's going to be like a big royal wedding. So Ellie's already strapped in, ready to go. She's like, say less.
Yeah, I'm on there. The plane. I'm ready.
Alex basically has a giant fuck off crush on Henry, but he'll never admit that. But we know because you just tell he's like, I fucking hate him. For what reason? I don't know. I just hate him.
I hate the way he breathes. Yeah. I hate the way he just looks like very attractive and very rude.
Yeah. It's so good. So the day of the wedding, Henry asks June to dance and Alex decides to get blackout drunk because of it. Drunk Alex approaches Henry after his dance with June and we get this moment where he says, he's too perfect. Alex wants to poke it, which like, again, I love it.
Like the banter in this book between Alex and Henry already on another level, as we've said, we'll get into it in heavy detail as well.
But we will.
The internal dialogue of Alex
classic.
Killed me.
I know.
So he does indeed poke it because basically Henry's like, why are you so fucking obsessed with me? And Alex is like, hell no, I hate you. And they end up somehow like falling into a table that holds like a massive 8-tier wedding cake and it falls all over the floor. The table crashes and the paparazzi just eat this shit up. Alex's mother, on the other hand, is not eating this up. The next day, he's in a meeting with Zara and his mother. Now, Zara is, what's her title?
Chief of
White House Chief of Staff?
I don't know. It was like a secondhand man or something like that.
They're in a meeting and Alex's mother, again, not happy. We get this quote. As your mother, I can appreciate that maybe this isn't your fault. But as the president, all I want is to have the CIA fake your death and ride the dead kid's sympathy into a second term.
Oh my God. I fucking love that. Which,
that is some classic fucking mum and son banter. Like that is what a good mother-son relationship looks like.
I love that. with parents. Like, I was raised on just them giving me shit. Stuff like I would make an argument in a fight that we'd be having and they'd be like, well, you can't ride a bike. I'm like, well, you're the ones that are meant to teach me. This is a failing on you.
It's fine.
Fuck, that's funny, Ellie. Anyway, okay, so long story short, Alex and Henry now basically have to pretend to be besties to cover up this issue. So Zara's gone full PR manager mode and she's like, no, this can't happen. You guys need to be best friends. So Alex is going to England. When he gets there, he has to sign an NDA and he and Henry are basically at each other's throats from the get-go. We get this moment where Alex says, go fuck yourself. And Henry says, hardly enough time. Fucking die. I need it. I love it. I want more of it. And we get more of it. They have an interview scheduled the next morning and Alex and Henry, they act like besties. And then they go to a hospital for kids that suffer with cancer. And Alex is angry because Henry apparently looks like a robot. Like out in public, he kind of acts like he doesn't really want to be there, you know, that kind of thing. But in private, Alex like sneaks a look into one of the rooms where Henry is speaking with a young girl who has leukemia. And they're discussing Star Wars and he's like super cute and kind with her and isn't anything like the robot that he thought he was being. And then what they think is like a gunshot goes off when they're leaving and the boys get like shoved into a closet and they have to sit in there. And when I say sit in there, I'm talking they are sitting basically on each other. Like this supply also, closet is tiny.
Casey, you've put them in the closet.
That's what I was thinking. She's just put them both in the closet there.
We've caught on.
Inside this closet, Alex tells Henry that he was basically like a prick to him the first time they met. And Henry ends up apologizing and they end up discussing Star Wars until they're told that the coast is clear and that it was a false alarm. So happy days. The friendship is blossoming. Alex gives Henry his phone number and this is like the true start of my version of crack, which is the banter. And we get this moment, no booty calls, Alex tells him, and Henry chokes on a laugh. And like, you've got a picture, Alex just fucking has hated him for so long and he doesn't know why, but he like thinks he knows why, and now they're like starting to blossom this friendship that's based on just a mutual not wanting to have to go through this, like not wanting to be around each other, both because they kind of have secret crushes on each other. And like this moment of the banter slipping out with the truth that no booty calls.
Tee-hee ha-ha.
We love a good booty call. Anytime, day or night, I'm prepared.
Especially when it's like a private jet.
Even if we have to fuck up the environment with a private jet, I'm okay with it in this
there comic. Were a lot of carbon emissions in this book. So many. It's fine.
So many.
Look, you got to do what you got to do if you need that dick. Support it.
So they split up. Like, obviously, Alex goes back to America. Henry's in England. Alex goes back to uni and we find out Alex hates Henry so much. He once had a magazine with Henry on the cover of it on his desk and stared at it for days like he was trying to set it on fire. I love it. I fucking love it. Again, crack. We meet Leo, who is Alex's stepdad. He is like a billionaire genius, and Alex, Nora, and June are offered proper jobs in the White House working for Mama President. And then we also continue on with Alex and Henry getting super friendly with their bickering back and forth over texts. So that's great. Alex sends Henry a 5-kilogram parcel of campaign buttons with his face on it. And we get this interchange and I fucking love it, which is, HRH, Prince Dickhead. I hope this gross miscarriage of campaign funds is worth it to you. My security thought it was a bomb. Sean almost called in the sniffer dogs. Alex, oh, definitely worth it. Even more worth it now. Tell Sean I said hi and I miss that sweet, sweet ass. XOXOXO. HRH Prince Dickhead. I will not. I literally die. Like, I love it so much.
The audiobook was great for that because they had the different accents as well. It was just...
Oh, God. I'm going to have to listen to the audiobook. Their banter back and forth honestly kills me. So basically, I don't know, there's this weird situation where like these turkeys need to be babysat.
It's an American thing where they have the turkey and then the president pardons a turkey for Thanksgiving. It's a whole weird American thing.
I don't know what goes on in America. It's a weird, weird place. Sorry all of our American listeners, but also
yeah, understand the pardoning of a turkey by the president because you eat them. But I'm here for the story. It's fine.
Anyway, he's babysitting these turkeys in his room, right? And he's realizing that this is a fucking terrible decision. So he calls Henry at 3 a.m. to speak with him about the dreaded gobble. So that's good.
Gobble.
They chat and it's super adorable and hilarious and I love them so much. It's super great. Perfect. The banter is there. The next day, Alex's dad gives me super weird vibes. The fam have a big fight on Christmas Eve and it's just, I don't know. The whole first half of this book, I was like, why is Alex's dad giving me these fucking vibes of, he was like, yeah, you're a woman doing this on your own. You're not good enough, basically.
He was super mansplaining. It was a bit like, come off it, mate. She's doing a good job.
So yeah, they have a giant fight on Christmas Eve and Alex ends up getting very upset. So who does he call? Henry, of course. And they have this gorgeous little chat and like Alex kind of opens up to Henry about his family situation and it's very lovely. In the split minute of time, the Young America Gala comes around. The girls invite Henry on the Lolo and Alex doesn't know this, but then when he finds out, he is like super low key excited, but he's also shitting his pants. They get super fucking drunk and they end up going outside to look up at the stars because there's this moment where Henry sees Alex and Nora kiss on New Year's and Henry like walks out the door and Alex is like, that's super weird. And he goes out and then Henry kisses Alex and we fucking scream. We get this moment. Henry releases him roughly enough that he staggers backward and Henry's mumbling a curse and an apology, eyes wide, and he's spinning on his heel, crunching off through the snow at double time. Before Alex can say or do anything, he disappears around the corner. Oh, Alex says finally, faintly touching one hand to his lips, then shit. So that's just fucking beautiful and it's everything that I needed and it was like in the passion, in the throes of, you know, Alex being like, what's going on? What's happening? And Henry's just like, I'm fine, everything's fine. Psych kiss. Alex starts having a crisis about the kiss, right? Over the next few days, he's spiraling. He's like, oh my fucking God, because Henry isn't messaging him and he's like, what the fuck? What's going on? So he makes a list, right? And this is something that I do. So
this is fucking Georgia.
Yeah. I need lists in my head to be able to do things. Otherwise, I die. So we get this moment. He needs a list. So the things he knows right now. 1, he's attracted to Henry. 2, he wants to kiss Henry again. 3, he has maybe wanted to kiss Henry for a while, as in probably this whole time. Alex then has a crisis about possibly being bi. He speaks to Nora about it and Nora's like, babe, I know this. And like Henry, he's so super duper gay. Like so, so gay. So gay. She tells him that Alex needs to basically figure out how he feels and fill Henry in because guaranteed Henry is freaking the fuck out right now. Move forward. Henry is pictured in People's Magazine kissing a girl and Alex has another crisis moment and he ends up calling a guy that he kissed in high school and asks him if what they had and what they did was gay. And the guy is like, dude, like what the fuck? It's years. It's been years. But also, yes. He's like, I am super gay now, just so you're aware.
Super like, gay.
I'm like, super gay.
Alex is just oblivious.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, maybe that's why I was really attracted to Sean the first time that I saw him.
You know what's so funny is before I knew what pansexual was, you know, I had some friends who considered themselves bi, and for a long time, that's kind of where I would slot myself if I had to. Not that I always want to, but if I had to, that's kind of where I would have slot myself. But it just never felt right. Like, I just was kind of in a crisis of, like, I don't know what I am. I don't know how I feel. Like, I just know that I'm not necessarily attracted to a gender as such. I'm not attracted to just, like, him being a man and that person being a woman. I'm attracted to, like, the energy that they give off, their vibe that they give off. Like, I'm attracted to that. And then it wasn't until I found out what pansexuality was that I was like, ah, light bulb moment. There I am. And, you know, I just feel like Alex having this crisis moment was like, I feel like it's something that a lot of people who have come out as queer go through where they're like, crisis, crisis, crisis. I don't know where I belong. I don't know what I am. Everything I have done previously, I'm questioning. And I just feel like it was super relatable. And like the way in which he handled it is such his personality as well. I feel like it's so Alex. So I just loved it.
Yeah. I loved it too. He's such a sweet little possum.
So it's state dinner time, and Henry cannot avoid Alex forever. So Henry falters when he sees Alex, but ultimately Alex is still like gushing over his sexy English voice, and Alex quickly plans a shenanigan to get Henry alone for 5 minutes. And once he does, it is on. And you know I came through with the quotes because you cannot stop me with this book or any book. So we get this quote. If he weren't already hell-bent on destroying Henry's infuriating idiot face with his mouth right now, he would consider doing it with his fist. He's focused on the burst of adrenaline carrying his feet over the antique rug, Henry's tie wrapped around his fist, the flash in Henry's eyes. He reaches the nearest wall, shoves Henry against it, and crushes their mouths together.
Screaming.
Ooh. They then make out on a table in front of a portrait of Alexander Hamilton, and I'm screaming.
There was a lot of Hamilton references. I knew you would be dying.
I was having a fucking ball. Do we get this quote? They're really moving now, wrecking each other's suits, Henry's lip caught between Alex's teeth, the portrait's frame rattling against the wall when Henry's head drops back and bangs into it. Alex is at his throat, and he's somewhere between angry and giddy, caught up in the space between years of sworn hate and something else he's begun to suspect has always been there. It's white hot, and he feels crazy with it lit up from the inside.
Oh my God.
It's so hot.
Oh my God.
They have to like quickly pull themselves apart because obviously security is like, yo, you are the Prince of England and you're the President's son. You can't just hide in a room. Alex is like, bitch, you better be in my bedroom tonight, or this will be an international incident. And I love it.
Yeah.
That night, when Henry shows up at Alex's bedroom as requested, it's on again. And Alex is like, oh my God, you're jealous. And Henry, all of a sudden, quiet, calm Henry is not so quiet and calm anymore. He moves abruptly, heaving Alex off balance with both hands and down into his lap, eyes blazing. And he says in a low and deadly voice Alex has never heard from him before, yes, you preening ass, I've wanted you long enough that I won't have you tease me for another fucking second. Henry. Turns out being on the receiving end of Henry's royal authority is an extreme fucking turn on.
Hell yeah.
I love the quiet types. It's the ones that you least expect it from.
They start talking, you're like, jaw on the floor. So he kisses Henry until it feels like he can't breathe, until it feels like he's going to forget both of their names and titles, until they're only two people tangled up in a dark room making a brilliant epic mistake. Like, the writing, it's phenomenal. They move from grinding on the couch to the bed, and there's this moment where Henry just casually spits into his hand and
absolutely feral for it though.
And Alex is like, oh my fucking God, fuck, I can't believe you, God. You're the most insufferable goddamn bastard on the face of this planet. Do you know what the fuck? Oh my God, you're infuriating. You're the worst. And Harry's just like, do you ever stop talking? Such a mouth on you.
I don't quite like the spitting on the hand. Not my vibe. I prefer the travel bottle sized lube.
Yeah, he does have the travel lube on him. That come later. Yeah. Literally. And also, it's like, Jesus Christ, Casey, give me a fucking break. This is so hot. And again, the banter is just hilarious. We get this moment where it's like, yes, good, carry on. Sending someone a fruit basket and thanks. Fucking eyelashes. God save the queen. Like, that's just all some of Alex's internal dialogue during this whole encounter. Yeah. He's sending people fruit baskets. Like, what the fuck?
That man, I love him. He's so fucking funny.
It's just, yeah, look, he'd get along well with us. Post-fuck, they confirm that Alex is bi and Henry is obviously very, very gay. We know this. Henry leaves before it is an international PR nightmare, but something has obviously changed between them and we love it. But then Henry invites Alex to a charity polo match. It's February in Connecticut, but Alex is sweating because Henry is too hot to handle. They manage to pretend that they're going for like a photo op and like barricade themselves in the tack room. And the whole like polo equestrian sporting ensemble threatens to destroy Alex's ability to use words. But, you know, they get the job done. Again, the way that Casey describes Alex feeling Henry's leather-gloved thumb wiping the corner of his mouth after giving him that gobby, it's filthy and I love it.
That whole scene was immaculate.
I'm going to need to use those knee pads.
Oh, the whole thing.
Whole thing. Thank you, Casey, for your service. We then get some emails between Alex and Henry about fundraisers, and obviously there's more banter. Henry bails on like a presentation on like a wind power farm in Germany and meets Alex in France, and the world thinks that they have like this best bromance, and like that's their cover. So, okay, whatever, Trevor. They use the international relations excuse to their full advantage on Alex's birthday and creatively end up with smears of birthday cake in several places.
Oh, yeah. Hello.
They then exchange Snapchat information, which you can tell this was written in 2016, and begin to learn more and more about each other. We learn about Henry's depressive episodes, which give us like this beautiful quote. He's just as attracted to Henry's cloudy tempers, the way he comes back from them, and the millions of shades in between. Aww. I was like, really? Like, in a rom-com?
I know, and it's such a huge part of who Henry is, and it's just not like overshadowed. Oh, I fucking loved it.
Because for context, like in the Prince Harry analogy for Henry, Henry's mum is the royal and the dad was an actor that died. It was like almost taboo for her to marry him, but he did. And then his mum's been so boxed down in grief that Henry had to deal with it on his own. Cough, cough, Harry. We also learn that Henry is not only educated generally and to like a royal standard, but he has taken a specific steps to know his own country's gay history, which is really lovely. And that inspires Alex to do the same. So I just loved that. Alex is also learning more about himself through being with Henry, and we love that. But he also hasn't told June yet, but she's picking up on the vibe, so we know that she knows. One night, Alex and Henry are talking on the phone, and we learn that Henry melts when Alex uses the pet name Baby.
Oh.
And I cannot relate to this moment. Again, Baby, Babe, not about it. I can support their choices.
I even call my kids Babe.
Yeah, your child who was a baby that came from you. It's the meaning of the word.
Yeah, true, but I also call them Spawn of Satan. So
they bond over family troubles, like obviously including Henry's dad's death and like Henry's sister B's subsequent drug use and Henry's mother's paralyzing grief. Henry also shares about how his grandmother took that moment of grief to tell Henry to basically just whatever's happening here, the gay vibes I'm picking up, just pack that in, hide that, put that away.
Right. Whatever I am seeing here, just...
No. The passage of writing, like, on page 171 where Henry is speaking about his father is, like, literally some of the most beautiful writing I've read, like, in ages. It was really moving. Henry and Alex talk for so long that the sky changes colour and they have to plug their phones into charge. It's just like really, really fucking beautiful.
It's so gorgeous. Although as soon as you said the sky starts changing color, all I see is Bella Swan sitting in front of that fucking window with all the seasons changing every single time.
Oh my God. Alex is working on what he calls the Texas Binder, which is like his passion project to break the conservative chokehold on the state of Texas. He is so focused on this one night that he misses dinner with June. And when he goes to apologize to her, they end up having a heart to heart where she reveals that of course she knew he was queer, and of course she could tell that he was fucking Henry because she's not blind. June is scared that Alex will lose this great thing that he has with Henry if he keeps going down the political track and following his political dreams. Alex FaceTimes Henry to keep him calm, but again he is just like, oh my God, this is just like a casual thing. We're just casual people fucking all over the world. It's fine.
It's fine.
Alex graduates college. His after party is interrupted by like an update from one of like his mum's presidential opponent, and Alex catches his dad and Alex's political mentor, who is Rafael Luna, having like a weird tense conversation, and he feels like he's missing something, but that's fine. It's just off to the side. Let's focus on our lovebirds, because importantly it is time for a fundraiser in LA that involves kimonos.
Yes,
our lovers B, Nora, June and Pez are at a karaoke bar in silk kimonos, and it sounds wild and fun as fuck, and I just want to be there with them.
Oh my God, the description of that night made it sound like so much fucking fun.
So much fucking fun. June is looking at Henry's friend Pez and is literally like, oh my God, Pez is so hot. I want to put my fingers in his mouth. What the fuck, June?
I'm fine. Yeah, fuck it up. I'd probably put my fingers in his mouth.
Drunk Alex is horny, and so is Henry. So Henry and Alex go and fondle each other in the bathroom. And then Henry is screaming, "Don't stop me now," as he does a slide across the bar and plays air guitar. It's just a lot, and I love it. And again, I want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine Prince Harry doing that. Anyways, so our lovers stumble into bed making out and decide to take it further than just a blowjob extravaganza. In fact, Henry gets out his travel-sized lube, and Alex gets the closest he has ever been to Henry. The next day, and after his supersonic orgasm, the whole gang like stumble hungover out of the hotel. Cash is there and he greets them with coffee, like a gorgeous White House accredited mother hen, and I love it. Alex also realizes like he actually has friends and feels like that for the first time in his life, so I love that for him. At this stage, our boys are exchanging more emails and they're both so fucking obsessed with each other that I don't mind the contribution to climate change from the private jet travel. Except we get this horrible foreshadowing where Alex is like, someone warned me about private email servers somewhere. Oh, well.
No.
The presidential race is not only heating up for his mummy, but it's turning ugly. And Henry's emails are literally the only thing that are keeping Alex going between cups of coffee. Again, shout out to Ellie. We are then at Wimbledon and we see what an asshat Philip, aka William, and his wife Martha, aka Kate, are. You can tell what side I'm on. they harass Henry about finding a wife and about circulating in the proper circles. And Henry, like, essentially flees. When Alex finds him, it is apparent that Henry needs to let loose. And so Alex fucks him in a closet with the mantra, "When at Wimbledon."
I love it.
So they decide to promptly ditch the posh tennis and go back to Henry's apartment, where Henry plays the piano and discusses his favorite pieces of music. All the while, Alex is still trying to convince himself that he is not falling in love with this ruggedly handsome Englishman. Alex takes Henry apart with his hands, and Henry moans the name of God so much that his bedroom feels consecrated.
Yeah, that's odd.
When Alex is back in America, he's messaging Luna, but Luna's not replying. Luna's just busy. It's fine. Wrong. Luna is actually crossing the aisle and joining their enemy Richards to run on the presidential ticket. That shakes Alex to his very core, and he's drinking his sorrows at a bar when Henry appears. Henry is like the first person other than Nora to reach out to Alex when he is down and like pull him back from the brink, and I love it. The next morning, Zara literally busts in, and now she is like number eight to know about her lovers, because you know Henry's there pulling his jocks on, being like hello there. But now of course Alex has to tell his mum. The president takes it remarkably well until he says he is bi with Henry, but then it becomes a calendar request from mum, 2 p.m. West Wing, first floor, international ethics and sexual identity debrief.
I fucking love her.
I love her so much. She has like a whole ass slideshow. But essentially, although she loves and supports him, the political implications to not only Alex's future, but the campaign are big. And so Alex is booted off his mum's campaign, which is very sad for him professionally.
Honestly, the way she fucking handled it though, snaps to her.
Bro.
She was a mum and a president. She was doing the damn thing.
She can multitask. As Alex struggles with not being on the campaign, he emails Henry about maybe Alexander Hamilton was gay. And they start signing off their emails with quotes. And it's so fucking cute and intellectual, and I love it. It's time for a quick summer vacay that involves driving a Jeep. Henry meets Alex's dad, who takes, like, greeting a member of the royal family coming to his vacation house. Like, he takes that very, very well, all things considered.
Hey, you and would be freaking the fuck out.
You'd be like...
Your kid just rocks up with a prince, and you're like, oh, cool.
Yeah, I don't know that I have the insurance for that. while Henry is, like, playing in the lake with the girls, Alex and his dad discuss the whole Luna situation. His dad obviously completely sees what is happening between Alex and Henry and is on board. And it's later that night when Alex admits to himself that he is in love with Henry. Mm. And Alex is the happiest he's ever been. But as our boy is all like loved up and realizing things like Kylie Jenner, he's forgetting that Henry may not be in the same place acceptance-wise as him. And like he starts talking to Henry about all his future plans, and Henry literally, he does an Aussie from The Ultimatum and just swims away. Alex has like this sinking feeling, but that's like a later problem because like he knows he's in love and he's like too scared to lose it, so he doesn't want to push it. it. But the next morning, Henry's gone. He's left nothing but a handwritten note, and that's the last message from Henry. He doesn't respond to any of Alex's messages, and Alex is in such a state of distress that he buys emergency flights to Heathrow for answers.
Oh my God, I love surprise international travel. Like, it's just my fave.
He nearly gets taken by security before Henry allows him into the palace, because he's literally just standing out there being like, I'm going to fucking cause an incident unless you let me the fuck in. They end up shouting at each other, and Henry admits he has always loved Alex, but he doesn't get to choose who he loves because he'll always be a part of the crown, and he thought that Alex could never love him back. So, like, he never thought he would be in this situation anyways. Alex says that they can find a way together, but Henry says that they can't. And then they're angry shouting when Alex is like, tell me to go and I'll go. And Henry is like, fuck you. And Alex thinks he will love this shithead forever. And then it's on. It's angry. It's possibly tragic. It might even be the last time, but they're fucking and I love it.
Oh my God.
Big sad feelings. The next morning has Henry realizing things about his life and his future and how he feels. And he is not happy to just settle for just trying to get by when he knows what real life and real love could feel like. It's just a lot of big feelings and I love it. They are just blissed the fuck out in this hopeful phase, and you know, sneak out to the museum one night because it's like something Henry used to do with his dad, and then they dance together in the dark empty museum and it's just so beautiful. And the next day, as Alex goes to fly home, Henry gives him his signet ring.
Oh my God, it's just whole thing is just so beautiful, and the whole thing in the museum is just such like a Ross and Rachel moment, so it makes it even more iconic.
You know, it's a rom-com. I'm expecting the spice and the banter, like, but yet that blew me away. What I wasn't expecting was so much heart in this story, and I love it.
I know. I actually cried in this. We're going to get to it, but I full on cried my eyes out. But anyway, Alex returns to the US and immediately continues his glorious email exchange with Henry. They talk about how they'll be remembered in history. And here we get one of my favorite quotes, which is, here lies Prince Henry of Wales. He died as he lived, avoiding plans and sucking cock. Oh my God. Like, perfect email signature. I adore
it. Phenomenal.
Brilliant. Absolutely love it. Henry tells Alex he came out to his brother. In fact, he said to him, I am very deeply gay, Philip. It doesn't go over so well because Philip has a perpetual stick up his ass, which is kind of funny when you think about it. Henry is a beautiful writer though, and their emails are just gloriously sappy. They talk about their future and their struggles and how much they miss each other. And honestly, I would read an entire book of just their emails, because now every single email has a quote. They're literally like pulling quotes out of political literature where it's like letters from former prime ministers and presidents to their friends. Like, it's a platonic friendship, but they're pulling quotes to make it relevant to their situation. Oh my God, I love it. We then discover Zara is engaged to her mystery, potentially made up boyfriend, but there's no time to discuss this because somehow the press has managed to get photos of Alex and Henry at the hotel. And yeah, the headlines are everywhere. The photos seem pretty innocent, but it's enough for rumors because, you know, they're like, oh, two men together walking into an elevator, you know, they're going to bump peens. And well, they did, but still. So they devise a plan for June and Nora to become Henry and Alex's beards. They post like cropped photos of them together on the night with the silk kimonos, and it looks like they're together, and yeah, that's that really. But the boys aren't coping. A pap shot date is orchestrated between Henry and June in the States, and they manage to arrange a secret car down a secret alley to secretly allow Henry and Alex to have a secret rendezvous. There's a lot of moving parts to this scenario. Henry rightly points out that his ancestors literally did 1,000 times worse than any of this, and yet they still have to keep their relationship a secret, like it's a bad thing. And in the background, the song by Little Mix plays, our secret love song.
Little Mix, secret. Jason Derulo.
Jason Derulo. Jason.
He's in Derulo. It, but it's actually good. Like, it's a very good ballad.
Yeah. And that's actually a pride anthem. Fucking beautiful. So Alex comforts him and they kiss in the car, which is risky, but I'm here for it. Alex has a lot of pent-up frustration with the whole secret relationship saga and ends up channeling it into losing his absolute goddamn mind at Luna. So there's clearly something going on with Luna that he can't tell Alex, but Alex is too caught up on the betrayal to look past that. Luna was Alex's role model when he worked for him on the campaign trail, and he ends up telling him that he's bi. And Luna just says to him, go find a nice girl to marry because you can do that and it's not going to be a lie. And then Alex says the most heartbreaking thing, which is it would be a lie because it wouldn't be him. Oh my God. Emotion is hitting me. It's fine. Luna immediately catches what he's throwing and he's like, bro, I'm the bad guy now. You can't be telling me this shit. Alex leaves and we're all left a little bit confused about what's going on with Luna. That's neither here nor there. We're going to go home and get drunk. Alex heads home and does exactly that. And then he sends Henry a drunken, horny email before he's rudely interrupted by Zara in the middle of the night, calling him a horny little miscreant, which I quite like that nickname. Horny little miscreant. Turns out their entire relationship has been leaked to the press, complete with more pap shots and all of their emails. And I want all of us right now to think about the type of shit in your messages to your partner and imagine the fucking horror if that was to be read by the entire world.
Yeah, okay. When you're in the honeymoon phase.
The juicy stuff. Alex then gets put on communication lockdown with his phone confiscated. He gets shoved into a meeting with his mother, who is briefing her communications team, and she kicks everyone out and immediately goes into mum mode. And we get another brilliant quote here, which is, I am your mother. I was your mother before I was ever the president, and I'll be your mother long after, to the day they put me in the ground and beyond this earth. You are my child, so if you are serious about this, I'll back your play.
Aww.
And then he tells her he is, and she says, then fuck it. And I
love it.
Obsessed with this woman. Oh my God, she is the mother I dream of being. I also want to be president of the United States too. So, oh my God, it's all marrying him.
No, look, fuck it up. You'd be better than some of the ones that they have. Sorry, yeah, America. Sorry, America.
It's fine. So the scandal isn't really Henry and Alex's relationship, but it's more the fact that the White House personal email server was hacked. Hello, Hillary. And the president will struggle to be impartial on international relation issues. Alex finally gets to call Henry, but he doesn't answer, so he's freaking the fuck out, as you can imagine. But then there's a beautiful moment when his mum, Leo, his dad, and June are all there just like hugging him while he has a meltdown, and it's just so fucking perfect. Just the support from his family is amazing. But so Alex, beautiful. He's still not doing too great until Zara tells him, fuck it, we're going to London. I love this woman as well. Oh my God, the women in this book.
I know. Them.
So she essentially tells him they are rocking up at the palace and demanding a meeting. And if Shan doesn't agree to it, she will physically overpower him.
I love that.
So she proceeds to get Alex on the phone to Henry and our lovers finally get to talk. They love each other and we're all crying as they agree to take this on together. It's only after this conversation that Alex realizes Zara had Shan's personal number, and it turns out the fuckers are engaged. It's brilliant. I love it for them. Henry and Alex reunite while B runs interference with Prince Phil, who was about to have an aneurysm over the whole ordeal. And I'd really like to imagine a scenario where Charles and Camilla and the tampon conversation happens and Phil's reaction to that, because I kind of think that would be worse.
I know.
Like, if you think this is bad, in an alternate universe, your dad asked to be a tampon to be shoved up his mistress's vag. So Henry tells Alex about his conversation with his mum because she apparently just said she loves him and he could have told her sooner. And he ended up having a pretty rough conversation with her because, you know, she's not been doing too well since his dad died, and you can't just stop parenting.
She kind of just left. She was like, good luck.
Good luck.
I'll just be having a wine.
See myself out.
Yeah.
I'll just be in my quarters if you need me. Yeah. Tell a butler.
Tell a butler.
So they chat about the whole scandal because, of course, with the emails being released, B's whole powder princess fiasco is back in the headlines. But she's like, fuck it up, I don't care, it's part of my past, I'm going to own it. Then quite possibly my favorite and most heart-wrenching scene in this book happens. Henry falls asleep in Alex's lap and Alex starts chatting with B. Alex tells her that he thinks Henry isn't telling him something, and B just says, I love, he misses dad. I don't know why, but immediate tears, like fucking sob. I don't know why. And like, I find myself questioning, am I just hormonal or was this as sad as I actually thought it was? Because, oh my God, I was not okay after that moment.
Fuck it up.
Anyway, but he goes on to explain the loss and how it shaped Henry. And yeah, look, I'm just destroyed by that. It's fine. We're going to move on. Philip is here to ruin the moment. So thanks, Philip. B is off talking some sense into their mother. And Phil has seized his opportunity to say words to Henry and Alex like legacy and wise and naive and selfish and coward. And Henry stands his ground and is like, fuck you and your bland wife, Phil. Henry, yes. And Alex lets him have his moment. It's amazing.
We love it. it.
I shall read you the entire quote because it's fucking iconic, okay? We have a great uncle who abdicated because he was a fucking Nazi, so it'd hardly be the worst reason anyone's done it, would it? What are we even defending here, Philip? What kind of legacy? What kind of family that says, we'll take the murder, we'll take the raping and pillaging and the colonizing, we'll scrub it up nice and neat in a museum, but oh no, you're a bloody poof? That's beyond our sense of decorum. I've bloody well had it. I've sat about long enough letting you and Gran and the weight of the damned world keep me pinned, and I am finished. I don't care. You can take your legacy and your decorum and you can shove it up your fucking ass, Philip.
Oh shit, Henry.
Fuck it up.
And now this is what I wanted for the Harry and Meghan interview with Oprah. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what I wanted. I wanted Harry to be like,
fuck the monarchy.
Fuck the monarchy. I think he needed to do some deep thinking. And I don't know if he's done that yet. He's like, I'm distancing myself from the monarchy, but still, please, can I be a prince? I feel like he has a lot to live up to, this fictional character, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Now it's time for Henry's mum's moment. She thanks Alex for all he has done for Henry and tells him she will appeal to the Queen with political strategy. So while Henry doesn't have a blended family of weirdos to support him like Alex, the family he does have are ready to fight for him, and again, sobbing. It's fine. Queen Mary is a right cunt, and basically says, your job is to breed into this family and you cannot do that with a man. Okay, ew. Queen. Fine. No worries.
Thank you, Henry. Queen cunt.
Cunty queen. Henry yells at her. His mum stands up for him and Philip keeps trying to speak, but they all just shut him down immediately. Now I'm going to make a reference to part one of the Vanderpump Rules reunion where Tom Sandoval starts being like, I'd like to thank everyone for being here to support Ariana. And he starts crying and James and Lala are like, shut the fuck up, you fucking worm with a mustache. It's brilliant. Iconic TV. Emmy deserving TV. You need to go watch it, but it's fine. Bea then shows everyone the only people that have an issue with Henry and Alex being together, other than the bigots and homophobes that don't deserve air, are Philly Boy and Queen Cunty. So it's kind of like, who's the real issue here? Social media is full of support and people are out the front of the palace with banners and pride flags, and it's glorious. But the Queen is a little thick, so she doesn't quite seem ready to agree to support them until Catherine says, yo, mum, I'll tell the Prime Minister you have dementia, you dotty old cow. And that's that. It's the only thing Catherine's done in this book. And I support it.
Yeah.
Fucking support it.
We'll take
it. Well done. But then there's another beautiful quote that made me cry. So here we go again. Look at them, mum. They are not props of a legacy. They are my children. And I swear on my life and Arthur's, I will take you off the throne before I will let them feel the things you made me feel.
It's also the fact that like a mama bear coming out is what made Ellie cry.
I don't know why. Just sobbing. But got a lot of big feelings.
I love it.
I think it's because of my connection to Diana. I have like imprinted Diana's spirit into dead Arthur in this book, and
oh,
I'm just having a lot of feelings.
Yeah, so look, fine. That's fair.
So Philip again tries to speak with Bea. The absolute fucking queen she is spills an entire pot of tea into his lap and says, oh, so dreadfully clumsy. You know, I think it's all that cocaine I did. It must have really done a job on my reflexes. And it's perfect. And it's possibly my favourite thing.
Love it.
Alex then reunites with his fam back in the US, and Nora drops the bomb that she found out who leaked the emails. And we're all, you know, shocked when we discover it was the Riches Party. The plot thickens, though, when Alex realizes the person who helped Nora figure out the scheme was none other than Luna. So it turns out he is a good guy after all. They end up leaking the information about the Riches Party being dirty scumbuckets, and Alex goes on to deliver a kick-ass speech written by June. The next day, a massive crowd has gathered at the White House wearing pride shirts, and Cash and Amy are front and center holding pan flags and jackets with trans flag pins. I'm a little bit concerned about who's guarding the president, but it's fine because I kind of feel like you need to be aware that when we've made references to Cash, he's like Secret Service officer, and as is Amy, and they're just like getting fucked up with the first fam at all points in this book. I'm like, are you doing any secret servicing at all, or are you just here for the vibes?
Just for the vibes.
They're protecting the vibes.
They are. Yeah. I like that for them. Alex goes on to confront and thank Luna for everything. He finally tells Alex the whole story, which is basically that this Richards guy is a fictitious Trump who likes to get frisky for favors and is just generally a disgusting human being. So Luna was assaulted by him as an intern and then threatened when he tried to come clean, but he just couldn't stand back and allow Richards to take on the presidency. So he became a triple agent to try and take him down from the inside, which kind of works. They make up and someone says a funny joke about the election hinging on an email server, and it's just still too soon.
Just too soon.
It's not even our country and we're like, too soon.
And I think that's where a few people had issues, because if this was written like at the time, they're kind of like, let's not joke about that, because that kind of did fuck us a little bit there.
But on the upside, we're recording this week after Donald Trump was arrested.
Yay. What a great day for the world.
What a great day for America.
America.
4 weeks later, Alex is in the UK with Henry and they're sitting down for official royal portraits. Phil is there and he's trying to make amends, which is nice to see. And Catherine appears to be functioning in society again. So well done, everyone. Bea and Henry are making progress with new foundations, and Henry tells Alex he partnered with Pez's charity and will be working in Brooklyn quite a lot. Also, Alex is kind of having an existential crisis because he doesn't think he wants to be a politician at 21. Go figure.
Fair.
Nora is like, dude, law school. And he's like, oh yeah, that works. Problem solved. But it's kind of like another conclusion that he like suddenly gets to, as it's pointed out to him. It's like, oh yeah. I could do that, couldn't I? Yes, I think I will. It's lovely. Everything is turning out great, but there's still stress because it's election time. And of course, the election comes down to the final state, which for thematic purposes is, of course, Texas.
Absolutely.
Henry turns up at the final minute, and that's when they declare Ellen as president for a second term. That's right, Ellen DeGeneres. Here she is. Everyone loses their shit. Zara and Sean aggressively make out. Cash and Amy are like dancing on plastic chairs, and again, it's like you're secretly serving, like you're meant to be protecting the people, but that's fine, just party on.
They're
on
annual leave. They're protecting those chairs.
They are. The good guys won, and this is a much better ending than the 2016 election. So we end the book with Alex taking Henry to his home in Texas, and that's it. That's where we come to an end.
I realize in this episode we might be the quietest we've ever been, but that's just because we're all so obsessed with this book that we're just like,
yes, I'm gonna just live in it again. It's like I'm reading it all over again.
Such a good book.
Too hard to make jokes about it either. Yeah. It's kind of like, I can't it was make
perfect.
A
perfect.
I love their energy.
Okay, music references?
I think the music reference has to be Secret Love Song by Little Mix. It's just the best. You need to look up their performance in Dubai where the Pride flag is actually banned there. But they were like, you know what? Fuck you and your laws. And they had all of their Pride flags on stage. And
what beautiful. About London Boy by Taylor Swift?
Oh, yeah. True.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that. Shame on me. It's fine. I'll own it for the podcast world.
I found some fan art. Ooh. So to start off with, by C_LedDraw is a really adorable cartoon version of them with their emails, and I just love them. It's very pink and very cute. Then by Kid Ovna, you have them making out in front of Alexander Hamilton. I'm happy about this. Then by Choi Inc., which I want to say Choink. They've done a version of the Amazon poster. They've done a little cute.
Love it.
Ooh.
Love it. Yeah, with socks. Then by Stardust Night, they've got them holding each other. It's just really beautiful. They've got their sunnies and like it's just really pretty. And then we've got a whole heap by V. Kelly Art, because I was looking for one of the special editions you can get of this book has all these illustrations as end pages. And V. Kelly Art is the one who did those end pages, as well as she's done a whole bunch for this story. So she's done one of our boys in bed holding each other. Alex has got his key around his neck. And then she's also done one with the history, huh? Like what you could imagine people were putting on the shirts and things like that.
So cute.
Yeah, it's very, very cute. I love it. Hey guys, by the way, that's our last book for the first half of this year.
Yeah, that went quick. Fuck.
I mean, we love you guys, but yeah, we need our mid-year break. We'll be taking a couple weeks off.
Yeah, a few weeks in your world.
Yeah, a few weeks in your world for our mid-year break. And when we come back, we will be covering Astrid Parker Doesn't Fail by Ashley Herring Blake.
Yeah. So excited.
Very excited. But we'll be back for some other books shortly after that. We'll also be covering something, it has a number and it has like a flying thing in it.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
If you get it, get it. We'll still have content in the meantime, but we'll be back soon with more episodes.
Bye.
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 Thank you for listening to our podcast. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube if you haven't already at A Book and a Bev Podcast.
Please rate, like, and subscribe. We hear that helps.
We love and appreciate you, and we'll see you next week.